The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much for being with me at this end of July edition. I can't believe it's the end of July. Happy birthday to my older brother Dan. He turns 56. Yes, I had to do the math real quick. On the 31st of July. I have a great guest today, Martin James, CPA, just out of Plainfield. He and I are both part of the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group. In fact, we are the charter members of that group, and we're still some of the old dogs hanging on, and Marty's going to be on in just a little bit. He also did a three-part series with me that was kickoff Monday evening on the podcast, 2025, The Final Drive. So we've used him and abused him on this kind of cooler Thursday in Bloomington. All right, let's do a little news of the week brought to you by Lance Like and the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And my good friend Tim at Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your full-service electrical contractor. They have generators, solar arrays. He's a veteran guy. He's a veteran-owned business. Give him a call at 812-361-3604 or find them on Facebook. And finally, Dirk and Nikki Bland over at Kenny Bland Auctions, they are your full-service auction service. They will offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. I know he has some big deals going on right now. But visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Well, the only news of the week I'm going to talk about is the Fed, because we were waiting, right, for the Fed to meet, and they did, what they said they were going to do. Then the market rallied, and I had told folks, listen, it's not what they do, it's what they say. What they say matters. 90% of what the Fed does is talk. Because the market moves in expectation and then adjusts on reality. So what did they do? They raised it by 75 basis points. What did they say? We're going on a meeting-by-meeting basis. That's all they wanted. That's all we wanted to hear. Okay, we're going to start actually looking at things. We're not just, you know, bent on raising this thing and raising it and getting us into a recession. We're going to actually consider, you know, watching some things as we get to the next meeting. So the market took off, and then Thursday, the day of this show, kind of bounced around the morning, had a end-of-the-day rally, and then probably, as I'm recording this a little early because of Marty's schedule, my guess is, here it is 2 o'clock on a Thursday when I'm recording for the Thursday night show, Saturday morning replay. I just have seen this happen over and over and over. If we carry momentum into the end of the day, we're likely to carry it forward the rest of the week, which would be Friday. If we lose a little momentum at the end of the day, which is likely, then we could lose momentum into tomorrow, or we could have a little bit of a bounce. But maybe this is the relief rally we've been waiting for. It's tough when you've been at this 7 months and only had one good one. So it's been a little bit of a rough year, but you know, you got to hang in there. And we've been week after week having Rod on to talk about the resiliency of just staying invested, of investing during these times. Keep going. Don't think it's bad money or good money after bad. You have to continue to stick to your principles, understand what the purpose of your money is, and when you're going to use it. So all of these things have been hammered into our listeners' heads, our individual clients, for years. And this time is no different. So, yeah, we're just going to keep our eye on the Fed. And to me, that is the news of the week. So we got a lot to talk about with Martin James, CPA, down from Plainfield, Indiana today to share his knowledge and list. Yes, love for avoiding taxes like me. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's David Hayes in the studio. Martin James is my guest, CPA out of Plainfield. Marty, you went to Indiana University, an IU fan. And I said on our podcast that we'll go on Monday that you and I live 40 minutes apart. We have a love for fishing, right?
Oh, yeah.
We met each other through the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group that we helped charter. And that's how we had to meet, through some association like that. But we have another thing in common. We really enjoy paying our fair share, and only our fair share, of taxes. Not any more, not any less.
Yep.
You took the oath as a CPA long ago. I call you a recovering CPA, like Ed calls himself. You don't buy into the theory that let's push the tax liability off furthest in the future. You know what? Let's pay the bar tab when it's the cheapest. And that's where we sit today. And you and I have a common belief on that. So, Marty, last week on the show, I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen, but I talked about, I just inherited an IRA. Now what? And what's happening, and you've seen this because you've been, how long have you been practicing as a CPA and wealth manager?
Yeah, so just say like 1980.
Okay.
But then really started focusing, you know, on the IRA world probably like 1997.
Okay. Yeah, I got really into the trenches about
yeah.
that time. Well, when we first started, I started in the early 90s. You know, you started really digging in the late 90s. Not a ton of IRAs, right?
No.
Because most people had a pension, Social Security. Not until the baby boomers woke up and said, oh, you mean I don't have a pension and I have to save this on my own? Did people really start pounding it away? Well, they have. And now we're starting to see people die with pretty nice retirement accounts. And now we have people inheriting retirement accounts. So this is happening at a level that's I've never seen at this pace. But there is like, okay, now what? Right? Now what? Because it is confusing. So walk people through. I did it last week. But a little bit about, I just inherited an IRA. Now what, Marty?
Okay, so first thing you do is you're going to get in touch with somebody like me or yourself.
That knows what they're doing.
Knows what they're doing. Because this is not stuff that is just like right at the tip of most people's fingertips. So, they would have to do a lot of research, and you still may get the wrong answer.
Well, you may get the wrong answer because so much has changed since February.
Exactly. And by
you
the
may
time,
Google it and it say, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Nope, that changed in February.
Exactly. So that's kind of the first thing to do. And then what we're going to do is, we're going to be looking at, okay, how much money is it? How old was a person when they passed away? Is this traditional or is this Roth?
Right.
And so I'm sure you covered last week,
yeah.
if you inherited an IRA, we have the Secure Act that passed, so which says you have to get this out in 10 years. But then this year they said, well, here's the real rule, is that you have to still get out in 10 years. But if the person had already hit the required beginning date at April 1st after they hit...
Which is required minimum distribution date.
Exactly. Then you still have to take a required minimum distribution, even though... At 10 years, we still have to tell the money.
Right. Out.
And honestly, in most situations, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at your personal tax situation, what's coming up in your life. And we're going to be getting this stuff out faster at a faster rate than that. It just depending on what's going on in your life, when are you retiring, when Social Security might kicking in, what if you're not retiring, how's your income? And offer some planning suggestions along the way.
One thing that gets overlooked a lot, I don't think I talked about this last week. You inherit a retirement account that's not a Roth. Roth is ideal because there's no required beginning date. You can leave it in there for 10 years, grows tax-free, take it all out tax-free. Again, another Roth to the rescue story there. Mm-hmm. But what about people years ago that would contribute to an IRA but not get a tax deduction? They would
yes.
have a basis in their IRA. The only way, and you may end up paying taxes on money that you shouldn't because your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa already paid the tax on the seed money, and there's a form. So get their last
yes.
tax form, pull it out, and look for a form at 8606. It'll show
correct.
You the basis in their IRA, and you shouldn't pay money on that.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, what I would do is I would go find every tax return that you can on them.
Oh, most of the old people saved them since the 60s. So
that's perfect.
They got them in the basement.
Because what happens if this person changed tax preparers, adding that basis back in on that new tax software isn't something they might do. So it may just get missed altogether.
It usually does.
It does.
It's funny when I say to them, would you have your mom's last tax return? And they'll say, yeah. I have it because they have to do a final tax return.
Right.
They bring it to me. I look through it, and I'm not going to say more times than not, but many times there is an 8606 in there, and
mm-hmm.
some of that retirement account already been paid, already taxes have been paid. Yeah, so it is a complicated thing, and I did cover a lot of that in last week's show. Marty, you just recorded 3 podcasts with me, so we have a 3-part series coming up. Any highlights that you can share with the listeners? Because they have not heard part one yet, as this is Thursday. But number one will hit the airways on Monday.
Oh, it's all good.
Fantastic,
yeah,
right?
Just fantastic.
You've listened to all podcasts. You've listened to all previous of the podcast. These are going to be the best.
Yeah, exactly.
I told Marty, folks, that, you know, I rarely listen to my shows. I rarely listen. And if I'm in the car on a Saturday morning, I might turn on just to make sure it's on. And if it's not, I text Rob and tell him it's not airing, which that happens very seldom, but it does happen. But I rarely listen because I'm too critical of myself. It's like, oh, man, you're talking too fast. You didn't say this correctly. You know, you pronounced this word wrong. But the bottom line, folks, I'm from southern Indiana. Mm-hmm. I said I'm pretty articulate for a guy born in a blue-collar family from southern Indiana. And Marty, so you have the same excuse.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm saying you may not want to listen to these episodes coming up. You may be way too critical of yourself.
Unfortunately, they're going to queue up automatically on my phone.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble then. You're going to be doing one of those long fishing trips. By the way, Marty is also a professional fly fishing instructor. So if you're ever in the Zionsville area, there's this little fly shop up there, and Marty gives fly fishing lessons. So not only is he a genius when it comes to taxes and IRAs, really good at investment management, but maybe the best trait you have, Marty, and the best you're at, period, is fly fishing.
Yeah.
I've seen you catch everything on a fly rod.
Yeah, you tend to do that with your passion.
I got it. I understand. And this is one of ours as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you know, we pound the pavement, right? Roth, you got to do a Roth. Nothing better than a Roth. But should everyone do a Roth? Maybe not. We're going to get Marty's opinion of that. When we come back, it's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Martin James, CPA, recovering CPA, out of Plainfield, Indiana. You can see his office right on 67 as you're heading north. It's on the left-hand side. He and his son Kyle run that operation up there very, very well. And Marty, I know we're both in the same camp. Pay taxes when it's the cheapest, not at the furthest point in time. But the question always comes up, you know, should everyone do a Roth? And the answer is maybe not, right?
Yeah.
There's certain situations that you might think, probably maybe should not do a Roth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the starting point is really just kind of do a little projection on your retirement account balances as it would grow. What's my required minimum distributions going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to create a tax problem for me in the future? If we identify that, then we say, okay, now we need to start looking at, you know, what's the Roth strategies. But, you know, let's say I have like a smaller IRA, and say I have like a couple $100,000 in IRA, but I'm making charitable contributions of, you know, $15,000 a year or so. When I turn 70 and a half, that's where my charitable contributions are going to come out. And that's really effectively, I got a tax deduction going in, or, you know, basically it was a loan, but this a tax deduction, a loan from the government. When I put it in, and then when I take it out, I never have to pay the taxes on it because it's going directly to my church.
Yeah.
And they don't pay taxes.
Yeah. And I don't know how hard I beat this on the show, and it drives me crazy. We have folks that I know listen every single week, and I could bring up a topic a million times, and then all of a sudden they read an article somewhere, and they'll come in and they'll say, did you know at 70 and a half I can take money from my IRA directly to a charity and not pay tax, and it satisfies my minimum distributions if I'm of that age? I'm like, no, I've never heard that before. Like, yes, I've heard that. I've only said it a million times on the show. So that's what you're referring to. So in that case, maybe not do a Roth IRA.
Right. But when you do have that situation where, okay, that's still not enough, and then you start doing that Roth, you know, conversion strategy, you know, the planning on that, there's not a more satisfying call that I can make to a client than I say, okay, you're done. You know,
yeah.
You don't have to do any more Roth conversions. You're in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, I think we're there with some people.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
So it's also like, in my opinion, when do you need or want the money?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to, you know, do a Roth conversion, pay a bunch of tax, and then take it out the next day, I don't know. It may not be the best strategy. Or who's going to be inheriting that money? Is it a charity, like you mentioned before?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a person that maybe is in a lower tax bracket because of whatever their economic situation is than you are? I don't know. I mean, maybe that you have to consider all angles.
You do.
So it's not a blanket statement, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Correct.
That everyone should do Roth conversion. Yeah. Most people should, but not everyone.
It's kind of one of these things that, you know, people, I mean, you start talking about Roths to people, whether they, you know, not whether they should or not, we don't know yet, but it's like, I want one.
Yeah.
You know, I want one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because when you explain it, you mean I pay tax on the seed, but never the harvest. And you're like, wow, that sounds cool. Yeah. I've got that great slide that Ed showed in one of his meetings, Ed Slott, of the, there's two of them I use in my presentation, but one of them is really funny. This, there's a young guy and a gal walking together holding their hands. On the back of her, it says traditional IRA. Okay. And there was a girl walking that's a young, another young attractive girl. And on her back, it says Roth IRA.
Yeah.
And he's like looking back in lust over his shoulder. Like, I could have had that.
I've seen that one.
I could have had that one. Or or the little guy, the farmer standing there looking at this monster oak tree. And he said, you mean I have to pay tax on that? You know, I could have paid tax on the seed. Yeah. So yeah, for the majority of people, we definitely recommend a Roth. But for everybody, no, it's not for everybody. Any other situation you can think of where, you know, you should maybe pedal back a little bit? Because we do have, you know, Medicare premiums to deal with if you're of that age. There's other situations where you got to rethink. You know,
We have to look at all these stealth taxes, the things that work outside our regular marginal tax bracket system.
Right.
And, you know, what can we do to control those with these Roth conversions? Now, you know, we're talking about Roth conversions here. We're not really talking about contributions. If you can make a contribution
make
to a Roth,
one.
You do it.
Yeah, there's no question to ask about that one. You always do that.
Yep.
Had a little malfunction over here. Do you see that? Those cat-like reflexes?
It was amazing.
Catching that microphone as it fell off its
Remind
pedestal.
Me,
barely missed a beat.
Mr. Miyagi with a chopsticks and a fly.
Yeah, not bad for a 50-year-old, 2-year-old guy. I'll tell you a quick story that you'll enjoy because you're a dog guy like me. I have a good friend, his name's George, and always had labs. He had a black lab, was his best man in his wedding back, and they're going to be married 30 years here in September. So he has an older black lab, and it's pretty much lives with grandma and grandpa now. But my friend Steve and I said, we're going to buy him a new black lab puppy. So I've actually already paid for it. It's 5 weeks old. We're going to pick it up in 2 weeks. And when we said, we're going to just put this on George's porch, a little bow around his neck, and ring the doorbell and run. And I told Steve, I said, you know, why don't you just drive the car and park up the hill? I'll run because I run faster than you do, and we're going to leave that dog. So I started telling the story, and then I'm like, okay, George, my wife and his wife had a charitable thing to do on a Monday night, and he said, you want to have Mexican? Sure, I'll have Mexican. So I'm sitting there thinking, I got to tell George I got this dog. I can't just do this to this dog. So anyway, I'm sitting there. I'm like, George, is it okay if I get you a black lab? And he goes, no, I do not want a puppy. He said, Betty and I are free. Do what we want. We don't need the obligation of a dog. I said, well, what if we would have just left it on your porch and left? And he goes, I probably would have had to bring it inside and figured out what to do with it, and I would have fell in love with it, and I would have never let it go. So I was thinking about how I can roll that into a Roth conversion conversation. Doing a Roth conversion is painful, but then you fall in love with it immediately. It's just a short pain. It's just that one night or two days of what did I just do? What happened to me with paying that tax? And then all of a sudden you love the Roth.
Yeah. It's all
and you
yours.
Hope it never dies.
It's all yours.
Right? It's all yours. Oh, I knew you'd enjoy that one, Marty. Let's take a break. When we come back, Marty, you wrote an article in one of Ed Slott, IRA advisor, one of his publications, on a Roth for all seasons.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure you remember. Because you've written it. You actually have the record for the number of articles written that go out, by the way, to thousands and thousands of people all around the country, including to all the major newspapers like the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, all of them. And you've been picked up on a few of those over the years, so that's kind of cool as well. But we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk to Marty Moore. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Martin James, CPA, is my guest. And during the break, Marty asked me, is the Bluebird still around? I'm like, yeah, it's still around. It's just right down the road here. And he's that Mellencamp music made him remember the glory days of IU when Marty is here.
That was when he's Johnny Cougar.
Johnny Cougar, yeah, back in the Cougar days. Yeah, it's still here. It's still here. I can't say I've been there much. My friend Hank Ruff plays down there quite a bit. And occasionally he'll text and say, hey, you missed to come out. The problem is, Hank, you don't start until 9 o'clock. Or sometimes later, like 11. So anyway, if I said, let's stay till Hank's first set's over, and then the old people go home. That's usually what happens. You relate to that, Marty.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, like I said, you have written more articles for the Ed Slott IRA Advisor publication than any person in the face of this earth. In fact, you have perfect attendance at all the Ed Slott meetings.
I do. And you got 18 years worth.
Never missed a meeting. I'm going to miss this October, by the way. It's my anniversary, and we're going to Florida, so I'll be out. But I emailed Matt today and told him I probably wouldn't make it. I tried to even rearrange my schedule, but it didn't work out. But you wrote an article that I thought was really, really good on a Roth for all seasons. And you talked about bank money moving to a Roth for protection, for creditors, tax for interest, just a lot of different things. Living off inheritance and converting more to a Roth, that's a case that you and I worked on together. Give us a little insight on your thought process and what made you write that article, and what are some little nuggets that were in there?
Yeah, I was just thinking before I sat down to write, I go, you know, over the years, we've used these Roths in so many different ways. So I tried to kind of create an article that actually showed all the ways a person could use a Roth to benefit their financial situation. And that's really kind of what came out of it. You know, like the emergency fund.
Yeah.
I've got money in the bank as an emergency fund. Well, I can make a Roth conversion or a
contribution,
you know, I'll drop it in there. Because one of the rules with Roth, so if I'm under 59 and a half, traditional IRA, I'm going to pay a 10% penalty on it. On the Roth, I can always pull my contributions out tax-free.
Yeah, so, whenever you want.
Yeah, so I could actually put it, you know, in a Roth cash type account.
Contributions are the key, not the gains.
Exactly.
Contributions.
Exactly. So I could put it and just still keep it in cash. And then as that account would grow, then I could start investing
tax-free,
part of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. But always have, you know, part of it for my emergency fund.
What the case you and I were talking about, they've been very aggressive making Roth conversions. They've been committed to the process. Just received a big inheritance, and that is going to require some tax bills to be paid. So we're tapping the brake on the Roth conversion as we were doing it, going to live off the inheritance. You were just talking about, you know, how to manage that process as well as part of that article.
Yeah. So one of the things that it really depends who the people are. Like these people are already retired. They received this money, a substantial amount of money in what we call after-tax type brokerage type money.
Right.
Okay, so tax has already been paid. All the assets in there stepped up at basis of death. So we can sell whatever we want and not pay any taxes.
Right.
So the idea here is that over the next few years, we need to do some substantial Roth conversions for this client, you know, all the way up to the top of the 24% bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And then what that does is that gets them in a situation is when required minimum distribution ages, you know, start. We've got their we got that under control. Their tax bracket is going to get smoothed out. But while they're doing this, they still have a need to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have this money that is sitting in this brokerage. We're going to spend that first. And we're accomplishing two things here. Number one, I'm paying off the government out of my traditional IRA. So I'm just shifting money there based on my tax bracket. And now this money, now the government's paid off, it's all my money in there, and it's all growing tax-free. Never will pay a dime of tax on that. The other thing I was doing is I'm reducing the potential tax liability from that after-tax type brokerage account from its dividends, capital gains, and things like that in the future. Those are going to get reduced because now it's
spending
all,
it down.
Yeah, because I'm spending it, and part of it's being invested into my Roth IRA.
We were talking earlier when we were doing the podcast about just you about the and we did a podcast on basically using Roth money to keep your your ACA premiums low prior to Medicare.
Right.
Where a 62-year-old couple, you were able to, because it's always like, when do you use the Roth money? Well, in this case, you were able to manage their income. I've done it as well, to a point where they were receiving practically free health care prior to Medicare.
Yeah.
You save them literally $60,000 over 3 years in health insurance premiums. And I was joking, like, Marty, what do you pay? How do you charge for that? And he was like, whatever I want. No, you didn't say it. I said that. But the reality of it is that's the kind of good stuff you get when you get with people to know things. I mean, you get some good stuff. Because like you said, you have all these stealthy things going on around you that you don't even know. If I do this, oh, watch out for that, you know.
Exactly.
And it can go both ways. You know, you can do some things here and the good things happen, and you can do things over here and bad things happen. So unless you know people that have their head on a swivel and really are looking for the arrows coming in all the directions and know where the arrows are coming from. Otherwise, you're going to get poked.
Yeah, because one of the things you're also doing is when you're doing the planning, you say, okay, based on current situation and circumstances and tax laws and such, here's what we're doing. But you also have that contingency plans where you're going to pivot and we're going that direction now.
Yeah, and the Rothwell seasons would be certainly, Rothwell ages, it's all seasons of life. Just, am I too old to convert? We did a podcast on that. We talked about that briefly today. Certainly when you're young, you should be putting all your money in the Roth. And even, middle age, even if you're the highest of your income earning years in the top tax bracket, you should still be putting money in your Roth 401ks and using the catch-ups. You talked about on the podcast, and one of the three we did today, on something that I had never thought about, and that is understanding what's capable in your 401k. Because we all know we can put it away tax-deferred, right, in the tax-later bucket. We know the company matches in the tax-later bucket. Most plans nowadays have a Roth option that I can put money into. They all have a catch-up provision where I can put more in when I'm 50 or older. But not all of them have what they call an after-tax version or in-plan Roth conversions. You told me something today on after-tax that just blew my mind. And I thought, that's why we continue to go to these meetings, because every time I find something I didn't know, it makes me mad. And it's like, I've got to not know something else too. I got to keep learning. But talk about that, because I know for a fact, like General Motors has this option, at least the after-tax, and some other plans around here do too as well. But most of even HR people don't know.
Right. So one of the things you have to look at, you may have been working for this company for 20 years, but at some point in time, they may have changed the plan to allow for the after-tax contribution, which is basically, it's like me taking money and putting it in the bank. I'm just putting it in an account over here in my 401k in my name. It's going to grow.
No tax deduction.
Yeah. The difference between that and the Roth contribution is the earnings on this will be
grow
taxable.
Those
will be taxed, or Roth never taxed. So I can actually put more than what they say I can put into my 401k for deferrals.
Because of the after-tax.
Because of the after-tax.
Once I get to the point, or maybe even not, you could potentially go in and say, I'm putting 10% in. I want 4% to go into my Roth. I want 6% to go in my after-tax or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to max it out nonetheless,
right.
and then you can usually put more
but
in.
One of the things that's in there for a lot, and this is why you got to look at the summary plan description, okay, that just go to the webpage there and pull it down, and it'll have these provisions in there. But in there, most plans will say you always have access to your after-tax contributions. So I'm thinking, okay, that's great. So for a younger person who's not 59 and a half and they can't access their money because of penalty, well, this, they can always get to it, all right? So then the other thing the plan might have, if you look at the index on the summary plan description, it might say in-plan rollover, which is technically just a Roth conversion inside. So I take this after-tax money and I make that investment, or my contribution into my plan, and then immediately convert it to the Roth account.
Roll it into the Roth account.
And then some plans will actually track that and say you still have always have access to that Roth, that part of your after-tax contribution.
And that's
that was
what
converted.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I hate to admit that to the people listening, but that's what I didn't know.
Some of them will do that. But really, the way that whole process works, first thing you need to do is you pull down your summary plan description, review it, with somebody like myself or David, and then you're actually going to pick up the phone and we're going to call whoever.
Oh, you mean you actually use the phone?
We have
call
to,
people?
Yeah, we have to, because they don't do Zoom at some of the larger institutions. So we pick up the phone, we get one of the people at the institution on, and we say, we want to understand the mechanics of how this will work. And like one plan says, well, yeah, you put the money in the after-tax account, and daily you can do the Roth conversion.
I did a podcast on Your Day Will Come. There's always, I'm talking about maxing out, and you're in your 40s, your kids are teenagers, and you're kind of like, I don't have the money to max out. Well, your day will come. The kids will get off the payroll for the most part. You'll be making good money, and that's the time to make hay. I've talked about it for years on the show. So you're in your 50s, that's usually when you start doing it, and that's when you can do catch-ups. So if you're saving more money than you thought you could in your plan, look at your summary plan description. Max out your 401k contributions early. And then everything else goes to after tax after that. So maybe the first 6 months you fully fund your Roth 401k and your catch up, and then you also everything, and then the rest of you put it in after tax.
And you got to be careful on doing that based on how the match is actually done. So if I fully fund my contribution earlier, my match may end up
getting watered down a little bit.
Watered down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's more like, you know, I would kind of average it out throughout the whole year.
Yeah, I know there's some plans that, you have to pay attention to that as well, because you might end up leaving half your match on the table if you do it that way.
That's why it's good to figure out the mechanics of all and how it's going to work.
Right, that's a good point. That's why this is like going to lunch with Marty and I. Just sit at our table, listen to us. This is what we talk about at lunch and a little fly fishing on the side.
Yeah.
And by the way, the dog is not going to my friend George. It's going to go to my brother Mark. So my brother Mark, who went with us to help pick out the dog, he's already in love with the puppy. So it's going to be out on Fairfax Road with a pond and, you know, chickens to chase and goats to play with. So our little farm we have out there, that's where little Ronnie will be. That's the name of his dog, Ronnie. Cute name. He wanted a name like a real person's name. Like I want to call him Marty James. So we're going to call him Marty. A little puppy running around named Marty. So wouldn't that have been an honor, Marty, had I told you that it would have been? The new dog was called Marty, not Ronnie.
Yeah.
Off air, I'll tell you what the full name is. All right, let's take a break. Marty, you and I talked about this, gifting assets.
Yes.
And what assets to give to who and when and what. And I did a podcast on the stepped up cost basis and stepping up basis between spouses, again, on a podcast, a little bit on the radio show, but really dug into it on a podcast. When we come back, I want to talk more about how you give assets, which assets you should give to people, which one's a charity, and just make sure people aren't making some mistakes they didn't even know. We'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, I know people listening are like, I got to know the dog's name. I'm not going to tell you what the real name is and what Ronnie is short for, but if you know me, if you have my email, if you know my phone number, and you really, really want to know that bad, and I can assure you there's people out there that want to know that bad, that I will get asked the question, what is the dog's full name? It ends in Hayes, but there's boom, boom, Hayes. So anyway, that's the suspense of the day. All right, so gifting assets. You know, this is something that people do, whether they're living or they have passed. And the question is, like, what assets should I give to who, when? I had a situation come up where, I think I shared it on the air. So it was a farm, a big farm. Mom owned part of it. Uncle owned part of it. Her son owned the other part. Third to third to third. It was worth about $3 million. Well, the son was going to buy the uncle out. The uncle was 92, and he was going to pay him like $700,000 for his part. So getting a discount, right? But the uncle was going to have to pay taxes on the difference between the total basis, which was like $200,000, so like, what, 70-some thousand apiece, and what he received, $700,000. But if the uncle would just leave it to him at death, then he would receive a stepped-up basis on his $1 million. Then if he decided to sell the farm, then the son would not pay any tax on that. So he tells me the story, like, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to buy this for my uncle. I'm like, don't do that. Let's do this. Let's gift your uncle the $700,000 because you can do that. You then take that off of your $11-plus million lifetime gift exclusion amount. Just report it. Tell him you did it. No tax to him, no tax to you. Then have him designate that portion directly to you in a direct transfer, like a transfer on death or something. Then when he passes away, you'll receive it, stepped up basis, and then you have reset your cost basis. He inherited his portion from his father, who died like in 1988. So mom's 91, uncle's 92. He inherited at his dad's date of death, 88. So the bases are all jacked up on this thing. But that's a great example of what not to do and then how you can get around it. But Marty, there are so many examples, and I don't have enough time to go through them all, but just go through a few of yours.
There really are. So first off, you have to determine, am I giving it to a charity or am I giving it to an individual?
Right, right.
You know, so charities don't pay taxes, individuals do. And so if I'm making a gift to a charity, you know, I'm going to be looking at more appreciated type property. Of course, when I'm 70 and a half, I got money in my IRA, that's where it's going.
Right, right.
Now, you know, if I have appreciated property, you know, I may want to, you know, kick that down to make a gift of that to the kids or whatever. And maybe they're in a situation where their tax bracket's low enough that they, you know, they sell it and there's really no income tax.
Right.
Or there could be a little bit, you know, because that basis, what my basis is, it carries over. So if you're dealing with like rental property and things like that, you know, if I'm going to give
which is the
real
case
property,
we had this week, right?
Yeah, you know, so all that's going to carry over. And the thing you got to watch there is we have these passive loss rules which came back, you know, came in like 1986 under the Tax Reform Act of 86, that, you know, if my income is a certain level and I have passive loss from like rental property, I can't take that loss. It just suspends there until I get rid of that property, then it releases. So what's going to happen is that those suspended losses, me as the owner of the property, the donor, will never get to use those.
Right.
It's going to actually adjust the basis to the donee.
Yeah, but if you sold it, then all those losses get to flush through to your other income.
Exactly. So you got to weigh that.
And then the case that you're referring to that we talked about this week with this client, it's like, well, if you sell it, then also your Medicare premiums in 2 years are going to be maxed out for
exactly.
1 year. So that was going to be an extra $4,000. You have to weigh it all out. Does the daughter have it? Yes. I mean, but it's complicated. Mm-hmm. But like you said, that is easy for you and I, but not easy for everyone else. But what about spouses? This is something I spent some time on as well on a podcast. So Misty and I, let's say we own something that's worth $1 million, and we paid up $200,000 for it, and we own it jointly, and I die. Well, she'll get a stepped-up basis, but only on half.
Correct.
And that's here in Indiana, mm-hmm. and all my listeners for the most part are here in Indiana, I think. So if you're living in a community property state, it's not true completely. They get a full step up. Marty clarified that on the podcast in the upcoming weeks. So I could just put it all in my name. Put it all in my name. If I know if I'm terminal and I'm probably not going to live, I have to live a year. Mm-hmm. I die. She gets it back with a full stepped up cost basis. Then she can sell it and pay no tax.
Or her and the next guy can sell it.
Trust me, once is enough for her. Once is enough for her. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, but there's just maneuvers even within spouse in a marriage relationship you can do this.
Yeah. And one of the things I would point out is, you know, some people have wills, you know, trusts that they haven't looked at in years.
Right.
And in that will and that trust, there may be like a charitable bequest of some sort.
Yeah, a lot of times there is.
Right. But then I have my IRA that's on the outside.
Right, it doesn't go through the will.
Exactly, unless I screw it up.
Yep.
So what's going to happen is my kids are going to get all the bad stuff through beneficiary designations on the IRA, and my charity is going to get some of the good stuff that's going through my will. So what
with
I want to do
stepped up basis
is I probably want to take the charity out of my will and actually designate that IRA part of it that's going to go to the charity because they don't pay taxes.
So what I tell people, separate it out. If you want to leave $50,000 to the Boys and Girls Club, not because I'm the chair of the Investment Endowment Committee and I'm also trying to get the Heritage Club beefed up, not a plug for the Boys and Girls Club at all, but maybe a little. Put the Boys and Girls Club on for that $50,000 IRA. Carve it out. Leave it alone. If you want to sweep gains, roll them to your other IRA occasionally, you can do that. But now it goes direct to the charity, not the kids. Tax-free because it gets the charity, not taxable to the kids. Leave that piece of real estate, those stocks, whatever, that go through my estate to the kids because you get to stepped up basis.
Give them the good stuff.
So there's assets you give to things when you're people and places when you're alive, and there's things you give differently when you're gone.
Exactly.
Very good lesson to be learned. All right, let's take a break, come back. We'll start to wrap up the show. Thank you, Marty. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed the show. If you miss any of it, of course, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And don't forget, 2025, the final drive, What You Need to Know to Win podcast every Monday night. And Marty is part of a three-part series starting this coming Monday. It's funny, Marty, I don't know if you noticed on the outline that I put together, it says in wrap-up, it says, Mary will be my guest on upcoming podcasts. And I thought, and I started laughing, I thought, I misspelled that. No, I didn't misspell it. That's exactly the way it should read because I've been calling you Mary for a long time.
Yeah, you go ahead and tell the story.
Well, yeah, we show up at an Ed Slott event and we get our name tags and instead of Marty, they left the T out and it said T out and it said Mary. So he had to wear this name tag around all week that said Mary. So I just started calling him Mary and I never let it go. I don't know how many years that's been going.
Long time ago.
Yeah, I never give up on things. But anyway, so Marty, I hope you enjoyed doing the podcast.
I did.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have you back. I know our friend Dean Barber, his podcast. I always forget the name of it. America's Wealth Management.
That's him and Bud.
Yeah.
Okay, then Dean's got Guided Retirement.
Guided Retirement. So you're going to be on his podcast coming up soon, so you're a popular guy. And folks, we are kicking off the Ivy Tech courses soon with Retirement Planning Today and Taxes in Retirement. We talked to Ivy Tech this week. We had a great conversation, a little Zoom meeting. Actually trying to get classes started up in northern Indiana. I just talked to Marty, probably in Plainfield and the Mooresville area coming soon. So they're very serious, Ivy Tech, about spreading this knowledge and information across all of their campuses around. Because, man, I'm telling you, there's not less people wanting to hear this information. There's more and more people. I've got General Motors on the 11th locked in. I'll be down there doing a series for them on retirement planning. Just a lot of good things lined up. So, again, if you'd like to know more about how you could tap into our financial education, of course, backed up by Ivy Tech, please reach out to us, and we will figure out a way to make that happen. And the bigger the employer, the better. If you're a small employer, we may group you with some other people that also have shown some interest, but certainly reach out to us. It makes you, it shows your employees that you care. And, you know, people I know you think might jump from this company to that company for $1 an hour or $2 an hour, but they won't if there's a loyalty built there and they think you care about them. So I think it's super important for you to provide that education and opportunity. I mean, it's kind of like an opportunity for them to get the education. And it's very engaging as opposed to saying, oh, well, we have a website with all these tools. No one uses those. I mean, unless you're just really into it, no one's going to jump on that website and go check it out and run a mock retirement plan. But if you invite them through an email, through mailers, through Facebook, whatever, to a class that you paid for as an employer, and they come and they get engaged there and they do the right thing from that point forward, do you think they're going to jump ship for $1 an hour? I don't think so. Marty, you agree with me on that, right?
Totally.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, folks, we're going to take the long break. I don't know because I lost track of time doing the recording early today. I think I'm kind of close, but next week, let's see. I don't even have what's on next week's show, but I'm sure it'll be great. I left half my notes at the office, so I'll let you know next week. You don't care anyway. You're going to listen whether you knew the topic or not. So everyone have a great weekend. I think it's going to be nice outside. I'm going to go fishing on Saturday. You're going to fish on Saturday.
I'm fishing tomorrow.
You're fishing Friday?
Yeah.
You lucky dog. You don't work, do you, anymore?
I try not to.
That's what you got Kyle for, right?
That's right.
And your staff
exactly.
up there.
Exactly.
So once again, thanks to Martin James, CPA. Look for his sign on 67 as you're heading north to Indianapolis up on the left-hand side. Have a great one, everyone. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.